What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Rose, and right now he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Chris, my friend, how are you?
Doing fine, guys. How are you?
Hi, Chris.
We are good. You have to be excited about that. I said Chris Rose is on the show. We got to lead Guardians with him. You got to be pumped. Best road start since 1948. Woo!
Yeah, they're playing great. I mean, it's awesome. You know, last night's game was one that they probably would have lost. at times throughout this journey in recent years. Really good job, though. Really, really good job. It's fun to watch them do their thing. You know, the guys have really, really good at-bats. That's the thing, is that I know we're always like you know, you have to produce, right, at the end of the day. But baseball is so much more of a process-related sport, so you have to stick to the process. If you don't believe in the process, then you're really screwed. And I think their process has been really, really good at the dish this year.
Chris, we know it's way too early to do anything, but it still puts a smile on your face to look at the standings and see that the Guardians have the best record in baseball right now. Whether it's sustainable or not, I think they've shown that they can be competitive for a good portion of the season, if not all year. Why? What do you think has worked so well for Stephen Vogt and the guys?
Well, the bullpen, for the most part, has been very, very, very good. Kept us in a lot of games because the starting pitching has not. It's not giving enough innings. And that will be the determining factor to see how long this run lasts. I mean, we hope that it lasts for 6 months. And the only way that's going to happen is if these guys give more than four or five innings a start. Because you just can't – that's not sustainable. Because you're going to just blow out dudes in the bullpen left and right. So Tanner Bibee can't throw 95 pitches in five innings. He can throw 95 pitches in six and a third. You know, he needs to get four to five more outs per outing. Logan Allen has been kind of a five and fly guy for the most part. You know, Tristan is the one that's kind of a head scratcher. I mean, I hope he can physically make it through because that's the one you worry about. Right there. And then the rest of the guys, you know, Xavier Curry looked amazing the other day, threw great. You know, that's the sort of stuff you need to have happen when your ace goes down for the year. You need Xavier Curry. You need Ben Lively. You need guys like that you didn't necessarily expect to contribute, maybe in the rotation, to contribute heavily in the rotation.
Chris, when I watch this team, I think a lot of times I sit there and I go, well, okay, what would Tito do? You know, we keep doing that. But I do think that Stephen Vogt's put his imprint on this team very fast. I love the way they're aggressive on the base paths. Even though sometimes it doesn't work out, I love that aggressive play. But I'm watching this, and my sample size is pretty small when it comes to understanding Stephen Vogt. You know him a lot better than we do. Has he put his imprint on this team early on? And how much fun is this for him? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a ton of fun for him. You know, but as respectful as he has been to Tito, and I mean, he should be, right? The guy's going to end up in Cooperstown. He's extremely confident in his ability to lead guys. And to me, the biggest difference is, and maybe this is an organizational philosophy, and so I can't put it all on Tito not playing them last year because I'm not privy to those meetings. I don't know. But I do know for a fact that Tito always loved his veterans. Loved his veterans wherever he went. And that's not a knock on him. That was just his philosophy. It is really hard to not get consistent playing time when you are young in this game. That is a veteran's job. So when Rocchio and Arias and Freeman have been up in years past, they didn't know when they were going to have their name called. And now at least two of those three know they're going to be penciled in the lineup just about every day, right? Freeman's getting his shot in center. And it's been a mixed bag through 3 weeks, but last night he had a couple of huge hits. Arias has not gotten a lot of time, but now seems to be, once again, it's the process, having better at-bats. And Rocchio, I will be shocked if he's not our shortstop. I think he's got too much game. And those guys were not getting consistent enough at-bats last year. They just weren't.
Chris, I think it's interesting. The outfield that we all thought, okay, who's going to emerge out there? We haven't seen it yet, you know. And even though Tyler had a great hit over the monster, that's great. Floreal had a couple of big hits against the Yankees, but Floreal, Freeman, Laureano, all hitting under 200. Will Brennan's at like 222. Yet the team has been able to win with that. I wonder when that teeters and when that balance point hits, and then I wonder what the corresponding moves might be. What does your gut tell you?
Nothing. I mean, what else are they going to do? Are they going to bring up Chase DeLauder?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. You can't. They're not going to play three guys hitting 185 all year. You know, either they warm up or something happens.
But does something happening isn't like this is the perfect place to play if you're a young outfielder because you're going to get your chance. At the end of the day, are they going to make a trade for an outfielder? Like, if they're still in contention in July and they're not getting the production that they want, they might end up moving one of their middle infielders for a proven outfielder. I mean, that's possible, right? Is Anthony Santander the answer? Because, boy, the Orioles have more guys coming. Colton Cowser's already here. You know, Jurstedt is on his way. The guy's, you know, got a million RBIs at the AAA level. So would they be willing to move a guy like that? That's a possibility, I suppose, if the Guardians are in contention in July, and I expect them to be. But other than that, it's like, you know, they just have to decide at what point do we pull the trigger on DeLauder? Is that July? Is that September? Is it next year? Other than that, they don't have answers, guys. They just don't. They didn't go out and get anybody in free agency that could help them. That's when they should have done it, if they were going to do it. And other than that, you've got to let guys play through it. Because unless you guys know people in the minors that I'm not aware of, then that's not going to happen.
All right, let's not go minors. Let's go majors. Let's talk a little bit about the Browns. Deshaun Watson spoke yesterday. Sounds like he's on track for training camp to be able to throw. Sounds like he's doing everything they're asking him to do. Just your thoughts on Watson here in the office. I mean, I'm concerned. The guy had major surgery. I want to make sure he's okay. Week one, I'm sure all Browns fans are. But your thoughts on that and how they kind of loaded up the quarterback spot behind him with Jameis Winston, that they do have a plan B and a pretty good plan B.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns have always thought of the backup quarterback position as a top 30, which was why top 30 spot on the roster, which was why I was kind of surprised that they traded Josh Dobbs a little bit, you know, toward the end of the preseason. And they felt like DTR was far enough along, and it ended up being that he was not. So they knew that they had to upgrade there. You know, they've got four guys that have started games at this level, and in some cases, big games, which is great. You know, you want to have guys on a pitch count. It is a long training camp. There's a lot of throws that have to be made, so you need that. You know, for me, like, I don't understand why Huntley signed with us. I'm thrilled that you get a guy who started a playoff game as your presumably number four or three or four quarterback, depending on how DTR's health is. Like, that's pretty damn good. But at the end of the day, guys, whether he's throwing full-time by the first day of camp, by the middle of camp, or whatever, this team is only going as far as he will take them. And he has got to get back. You know, it was funny, when they traded for him, they were like, we don't want him to be Houston. We want him to be the Cleveland version of Deshaun Watson. Well, right now, we would all take that Houston version of Deshaun Watson in a second because we just haven't seen it consistently enough. We saw it twice last year, and those were the two best games, against Tennessee and Baltimore, in which he has played in 12 games as a starter. So whether, like I said, whether he's ready for June, July, or the middle of August, whatever it is, he's got to be better. And that's how I look at it at the end of the day.
Chris, we had Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the show earlier, and Charles is a terrific NFL writer. And I asked him about the quarterbacks, and it seems like it's either ripe for one of those teams outside the top three, Giants, Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, who might need a quarterback, to make a big move to either go get J.J. McCarthy, or if somebody slides, or to try and move on to top three, or Bo Nix or Penix, if you're thinking they're the answer. But it screams to me, be careful here, because this could, because you have a need, you could make a huge mistake. How do you see the quarterbacks playing out in the first round? Because I think it's a precarious situation for some of these teams.
Yeah, but that's the way it's always been. That's nothing new here. Just go back to 2021, where you had five quarterbacks taken in the top 15. You had the Niners making a major move from 12 to 3 to go up and get a guy whom they traded, right? Four of those five guys that were taken in 2021, so this isn't 2018 or 2016, this is 2021, have had only three full seasons in the NFL. Four of those five guys are going to be on new teams before their rookie contract expires because, you know, I don't know where Zach's going to end up, but he's not going to stay a New York Jet for long, in my opinion. The warning signs are out there. And you can go back to 2011 where all those guys were taken and most of them were horrible. But if you need a quarterback, why wouldn't you make a move? I mean, if for Minnesota, I think they have a really, really good offensive coach. Very good. And much like Kevin Stefanski, he had to win games with four different starters last year, right? And they were in the playoff hunt until the last couple of weeks when they just kind of ran out. So if we know Sam Darnold's not the answer up there. He might be for a few weeks. But if you really think that J.J. McCarthy has enough skill set, why wouldn't you move up? Because the alternative is, wait till next year where you might be in the same exact situation where you don't know what those guys are going to be a year from now that are in college. You have no idea. And if you think that you can coach up J.J. McCarthy and that he's got enough talent, go do it.
I like the way you think, my
Interesting.
Friend. All right, Chris, we got to roll. We appreciate you every week. You're the man. Thank you. We're always catching up. Wait, you have draft coverage next week? You doing anything special for draft or no?
Yeah, I'm doing the pre-draft. So I'll be out there with David Carr and Steve Smith Sr. and Coach Shaw. So that'll be fun next week.
Very nice. All right, looking forward to your NFL Network coverage of the draft. And, of course, we're always watching the Rose Rotation and everything you're doing on social media. Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it, boys. Take care.
You, talk to you soon. He is Chris Rose. He was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, a little bit of breaking news as we went to break before we talked to Chris Rose. The Toronto Raptors, Jonte Porter, has been banned from the league after an investigation revealed that he had disclosed confidential information to bettors, limited his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors, and bet on NBA games while playing in the G League. There's a little bit
including
more to this.
Including Raptor games.
Yeah, so...
And bet on them to lose.
All right, Jeff, give me your initial reaction to the story. Again, Jonte Porter banned from the NFL for gambling.
Though gambling is legal in many, many places now, it's not legal for players who are participating in professional sports. And
People that work for the team.
Yeah, and if you needed proof, boom, there you have it. And I think it says a lot about the credibility of what's going on. Clearly, the leagues have partnered up, Andy, with legalized gambling. But they have laws in place to govern themselves, and they are not going to mess around with those. And Jonte Porter is the first person who's had the hammer dropped on him. My guess is he might not be the last.
No,
I hope other folks are smarter than that.
All right, so I see a couple things here. One, I see a player who got busted for doing something. Allegedly. I don't know. Is it official? I mean, it's not like... It's official that he has been...
It's official enough.
It's official that he has been banned from the NBA. Okay, so let's
did he do it? They didn't just make that stuff up.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
He took himself out of a game, as Jake said. He felt,
right.
Felt ill.
Okay.
Came out of the game. Had prop bets. Oh, boy.
One, obviously access for these guys to make bets legally now through a legal source is available.
Sure.
In 10 times the way that it was before. They're not running through sports books in Atlantic City or Vegas anymore. So those days are gone, right? So you can kind of see how the access is extremely easy for any athlete to be in there. Two, he got busted. And I'm wondering if it's because of the partnerships now that these leagues have with the sports betting operations. And so I think it's bad for Jonte Porter, and it's for anybody who's making bets that's playing or is a part of an organization. But by the same token, like you said at the beginning, they're exposed now, because if they're trying to make these bets through these operations, they're getting caught. And so maybe this helps and cleans up the game a little bit more. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Like, I don't see this as necessary. Like, with Pete Rose back in the day, you look at it, you're like, and just like, oh, that's horrible. I can't believe it. And what did he do? What didn't he do? In this situation, you now see that, you're probably looking at a partner for one of the leagues that figured out that a guy was gambling on his own sport. And so that I think maybe that if we can figure that out quicker, and the NBA is also telling every member that's underneath that NBA logo, dude, you better not do this or you're going to get busted like Jonte Porter did, and you're going to be done not now, not for a month, not for a season, forever.
And that should be a warning for everybody involved.
Yeah.
I mean, and it should be reassuring, I would think, Andy, for folks who are NBA fans.
I agree. Like, I think this is good for us. I'm just looking at this whole thing, and, you know, there's all kinds of information about how they did. The NBA investigated. This is ESPN story. The NBA investigation found that Porter revealed information about his own health to a known sports bettor ahead of the March 20th game against the Kings. Another bettor privy to information placed an $80,000 same-game parlay bet that featured unders on Porter's statistics that would win $1.1 million, according to the NBA. Porter placed 3 minutes before leaving a game with an illness. I'm looking at the story, and I'm like, why Porter would do this, I understand he wants the money.
Well, either he has a problem or he just got caught up in it and did some really stupid things, you know. And regardless, they're stupid. Maybe it's because he has a gambling addiction, Andy. We don't have any idea. Bottom line is the guy screwed up big time, got caught, and is paying a huge price.
Here's the other thing. I don't know how anybody who's listening to us right now would be surprised that a player would get busted for doing this. Like, this is not, like, you had to expect that when gambling started to blossom and bloom throughout the country, that we would start to hear, I'm actually surprised we don't hear more stories about lifetime bans on more sports and more players. And I mean, look at baseball, Shohei Ohtani. I'm just expecting more and more of these stories every day, every month, because that's just the society we live in right now, that we're going to find more players that are going to get busted for doing this. And you really got to be smart to not bet on your own game. You're probably better off if you're an athlete, not only not betting on your own game, but just betting, period. Because you'll have plenty of time when your career is over, when you're lucky enough to even get to the highest level.
Some of the stuff was placed, through a friend's account and stuff like that. It, And the guy got busted, Andy. That's a shame for him, but honestly, I do think it should be reassuring for NBA fans. I think the NBA is not going to tolerate this stuff.
I don't think any of them are.
Well, without question.
Yeah.
This is the first example that we have here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
A, it's really rough for him. B, it's really stupid by him.
Again, according to the ESPN report, this is from the league. There's nothing more important than protecting the integrity of the NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with the sport. This is why Jonte Porter's blatant violation of our game rules are being met with the most severe punishment. That's Adam Silver saying this while announcing the ban. As a fan, I think this makes me feel pretty good. I like the fact that they were able to find someone that was doing this. But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. How old is Porter? Somebody comes over. And by the way, this has been happening for years. We know that this stuff kind of happens. It just never comes to this point. And now we're talking about this coming to this point. And, because it's legalized, the eyes and the watching the bets and seeing what's happening and freezing bets and seeing things and they're looking. The groups that are doing these that are putting it out there are watching to see where the bets are coming or where they're coming from and what the payouts are and all that stuff because they don't want to get ripped off. The leagues don't want to lose the integrity of their games and I thought in the beginning I thought it would be weird if the leagues partnered up with some of these betting firms. But now it gives them instant access to see if there's anything unusual going on, to see if someone's trying to milk the system. So one, the story doesn't surprise me at all. Two, hey, they busted somebody. This sends a message to all those who are involved that if you're going to try to taint a game, you're not going to get away with it. You're just not.
There it
and
is.
So I think that this isn't. I mean, it's a bad story for Porter, but it might be a good story for us. Let's talk to Dave in Cleveland. Hi, Dave. How are you?
David. Good, buddy. Sorry, I caught you in the wrong time with the noise. But what I want to say is, what about all the people that bet on him that game for him to shoot, 10 points or 12 points, and he took himself out of the game? What about all those people that lost that bet?
Yeah, I don't know. What's the right repercussion? Because it is gambling, and you have the opportunity to win or lose. Now,
in their case, Dave, they just didn't win their bets.
There's
not much you can say about that.
Hmm.
Yeah, it stinks, but that's the deal.
All right, more reaction to this coming up here in a second. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.